This Christmas season, I was thinking of a word. This is kind of odd, but I was thinking of the word packaging. Packaging. It matters to us. People in marketing have long studied this, and they have figured out that we as consumers will choose a product, and oftentimes an equal or even inferior product, basically just because the packaging or the presentation of the product is more suitable, or it has a more grand approach, or there's something about it that draws our eyes. There's something in the way things are packaged that cause us to choose it. I thought about that a lot as I was looking at this. I read over the Christmas stories over and over and over again, and you know, I thought, none of us would have ever put together the story of Christ's birth, at least as it appears in Luke chapter 1-2. We would never have done it that way. In fact, I want you to consider a little bit. This is one of the odd things about the Christmas story, is that if we were God, if that was possible, if we were God, there is almost nothing about the way that Jesus was born that we would have done. We would have chose. I mean, what kind of a God would ever do that? What kind of a God would bring a really important, a really powerful ruler king into the world and do it the way he did it? What kind of a God would choose a peasant girl, young peasant girl that was insignificant, not important? She was a no one. What kind of a God would not only choose her, but then the way that he did it, he put her in a position that was scandalous in that time. I mean, causing her to be pregnant and she wasn't married yet. I mean, why would you take the risk of anything that was improper at all? If you were bringing this great king and ruler into the world, why? What kind of a God would do that? And then you go on, and then I think, why would he, in the last few weeks that she was pregnant, just before the child was born, in the last few weeks, cause her to have to make that 70, 80, 90 mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem while she was pregnant in the last few weeks? That is just, why not just leave her in the comfort of her home? Why do that? And then when they get to Bethlehem, the city is abuzz, maybe because of the census. Maybe there are other reasons, but there's people everywhere, and the normal places that you would stay, and possibly even your family and friends and relatives, all these places are full, and so there's no place at all to go. This is really bizarre, and so the only place left is a like stable, a barn, a horse's stable, and we romanticize it and make it really cute, but it was really probably very messy, smelly, and cold, and indecent for this. It doesn't make sense. None of us, nobody sitting here would have ever drawn it up that way. And then you can go further into the story. Why then announce it with an angel to shepherds? Shepherds were, I mean, that was, if you couldn't do anything else, you were a shepherd. I mean, that was the bottom. And then why use them? Why they are the first to know and come and worship the king? And I thought about this week, and there's something in this. God was doing something. It was almost like he was hiding it or on purpose being under the surface. And I want to tell you something about, I read this week, it was kind of interesting, I've read it before, but in 2007 there was a Washington Post reporter that decided he was going to do an experiment, kind of a social experiment. And what he wanted to see was, you know, would people be able to recognize beauty, talent, greatness, if it didn't come packaged in the context that we would normally expect it? Some of you have no doubt heard this story. But so what he did is he got this man named Joshua Bell, who was a violinist, and he got him to come to Washington, D.C., and so on. And they did almost everything as backwards as you could on January 12th, on the morning of January 12th. It's cold. And so they bring this guy named Joshua Bell, and they placed him outside of a subway station in Washington, in downtown Washington, D.C., on a cold winter morning, and they had him start playing the violin. It was rush hour, thousands of people going by. And they wanted to see, would people recognize, because Joshua Bell wasn't ordinary. He is world renowned. I mean, he is one of the best and most well-known musicians in the world. And so they placed him in this setting to see, would people recognize him? And you know, thousands of people walk by. And the way the story goes is that occasionally someone would stop kind of and linger and listen to him play. He played for 45 minutes. He played six songs that were some of the most amazing songs written for violin. A couple of them were Bach pieces. And a few people lingered. Some kids wanted to stop and listen. And a few people threw a dollar in the hat and so on. And by the time it was all over, there were about six people who stopped and stayed for any length of time. And only one person recognized him for who he was. This is amazing because just a couple nights prior to this, he sold out a theater in Boston where seats were averaging close to $100 a seat. People come to hear him play from all over the world. He is that great. But when you place him in the context of just an ordinary person out in the street, almost no one recognized him. Almost no one picked up. And maybe I couldn't hear the talent and the music. Maybe that would escape me. But no one even recognized that he was playing a handcrafted Stradivarius violin built in 1713 that was valued at $3.5 million on the streets of Washington, D.C. And almost no one recognized him. And I think this Washington Post reporter got this idea from God. Because I think that's kind of what happened 2,000 years ago. Because God placed his son, who is going to be king, who is going to be a ruler. I just forgot tools here. And he placed him on this earth in the most inconspicuous context that you could possibly imagine. And so the question that I want to ask, the question I have for us, I have two. The first one is, do we really recognize who he was? Yes, we celebrate Christmas. We love this season, and thanks to swear words, everybody knows the name of Jesus. We get that. But do people really recognize him for who he is? Here's the second question that I thought about. Why? Why is it necessary to recognize him? I mean, if God was going to bring a ruler, a king, a powerful government official on the earth, do we really have to recognize him? I mean, if he's going to come to power, we're going to be swept away into that power. So why is it important that I even recognize him at all for who he is? And so I want to share some scripture with you this morning. I only preach in the morning. It's this evening. I want to share a few passages of scripture that I was looking at this week. And a few of these things really popped. And I want to share them with you because I want us to recognize and then understand why it is important to recognize who Christ was in the package that God placed him on the earth. In Luke 1, we read the story where the angel Gabriel came to Mary and was announcing to her that she was going to get pregnant with a son and it was going to be God's son. So read with me as I read this. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So God is bringing a king to this earth. And I want you to consider this. I'm going to ask this question again because I thought about this. If God only sent a king, if that's Jesus, and we know he is. He's coming again. He's going to rule. His kingdom will have no end. But if God only sent a king, why is it important that we recognize him? He'll show up. We know that's how rulers work. They take power, and we're subject to their power. In fact, the Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so why is it important that we recognize him if he just came as a king? Because we know, even in this land, you know, presidents we vote for, there's something for us to do. Our vote maybe matters. But they still take over whether you vote for them or not, and we're subject to them. But kings don't operate like that. Kings just take power. How do you become a king? You get born into the right family. That's how you become a king. And so why is it important that I recognize him? And I want to take us on, because there's something really important that he goes on to say. He says this. Well, Mary asked, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." That's a logical question. The angel explained. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." I want that to sit with you a little. The child will be called the Son of God. Before he's ever a king, he's the Son of God. I was thinking about that this week, and this is why it's important to recognize this, is he is first a son. There's something happening, and I start asking questions. What's going on? And so I want to take you to a passage that's just the next or two chapters from here. It's kind of the end of the Christmas story. I was studying genealogies this week. So in Luke chapter 3, there's a genealogy, and it's the genealogy of Jesus, and we're pretty sure it's through Mary, even though it says he's the son of Joseph. So I want you to look at this. This is really fun. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, or so it was thought, because we know better, or so it was thought, of Joseph. Now, I want to go back to something I kind of skipped. Jesus, when he was born, was the Son of God. We saw this in the slide before. What that means is, there's never been a human like him. That's an obvious statement. But think about it for a while. Jesus Christ had no earthly father. He had an earthly mother, a birth mother, who put the X chromosome in there, but the Y chromosome in Jesus was not human at all. There's never been a person. There's like a whole new race of beings that is birthed right here. This is something really important. And so we're going to see how it figures with this. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. And then he starts through the genealogy. And I just gave you a little flavor. The son of Heli, the son of Mathat, I can't pronounce these, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi. 77 names. Okay, I'm not going to read them all. 77 names. He gets to the end. Son of Noah, I started here because that's recognizable. Son of Noah from the ark. Son of Noah, he's going all the way back. Son of Lamech, son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam. Now, if you know your Bible, you know it doesn't end there. And this next phrase always gets me. Every time I read this, this hits me. He's not finished. He puts this next phrase, I'm going to pop it up here, the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Every time I get there, Adam, the son of God, I forget. Adam had no earthly father. He was the son of God. God took the dust of the earth and created for himself a son of Adam. And I want to put these two together. And I want to tell you what's going on. The birth of Christ is so stunning and so amazing because of this. God is Adam and Eve, we all know, in the garden, sinned and broke that perfect plan that God had. He didn't do what he should have done. He didn't do what we needed him to do. All of us are sons and daughters of Adam. You can trace your ancestry back to Adam. We are all born of Adam. And in some ways, in that way, we are a son of God. But Jesus came to do something completely different. Start a new family is what he came to do. There's something important. He was the Son of God, and God decided we need a reboot. There is all this sin. There needs to be a restart. There needs to be hope for mankind, because there's no hope for sons of Adam. And so he birthed to us a Savior. Yes, he is King. Yes, he is Lord. Yes, the government is on his shoulder. Absolutely. But before all that, He's the Son of God. And this is why it matters that we recognize who he is, because there's something for us to do. Here, and I want to present this. He is offering us incredible hope, is what this is. Let me share some scriptures with you. So it is written, 1 Corinthians 15, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, this is Christ, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. Jesus Christ is offering each one. This is why the baby is so important and recognizing, is that he is saying, look, I want family. God is saying that to us. I want family. So I'm starting fresh with a second version of Adam. A second version here. And he's saying, we can be adopted into that family. Galatians 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, having been born of a woman, having been born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Years ago, I built some houses for a really rich man, and he was the dad, and he built a house for himself and his wife, but then he went and built really nice homes for all his children, and I got to work on these. And so there were three homes, and these homes were like close to $1 million, and he built these for his kids. And every worker that came in and worked there was saying, hey, you know, I'm adoptable. You know, I'm on the market. You can adopt me. And this is kind of what God is offering us, to be adopted as sons and daughters into his new family. Here's our part. Galatians 3 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This baby in a manger went on to live a perfect life. This is really important because somebody, a human being, needed to check that off God's list. Somebody needed to fulfill the law. This baby went on to die or be executed on a Roman cross, arguably the most horrific way to die that there is. And he did it to take the bullet for us, to take the punishment that was meant for you and I. And then, of course, Satan put him into the grave, which was a massive mistake because the grave couldn't hold him. And his resurrection, which is proven through history, secular writers write about it, has guaranteed us a place. But we join the family now. Now, just me to you. We live in a time where people are hopeless. We live in a time where anybody that's watching looks at the world and you see a six-year-old that has cancer, you see someone in a car accident that is killed by a drunk driver, you see anything happen, you see mass shootings. We all know something's wrong. There's something, there's a better way. There has to be a better way. And God is saying, here is the better way. We have hope. It's real hope. And he's saying, come be part of my family through faith in my Son, believing that Jesus did live perfectly, that he is the answer for my sin, that he died on the cross in my place. I stand before a holy and righteous God, and Jesus is there, and he paid the price. I can check it off. Carl, you go free. You are sinless. Not because I am, but because Christ is. And he's saying, here's the hope, and then I will take into my family, and we will have this incredible family reunion. We're going to have an agape corner, by the way. I think. And so, I just want to leave you with that. That the hope, the child that God put on this earth, that there's something to recognize. And the reason we need to is because our part is faith. Believing with a kind of belief that will change your life. That he is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Bow your heads. Father, I praise you. Thank you. Lord, we thank you, not only in this season, but anytime, Lord, that you have seen our condition on this earth. Lord, that you have responded. You have not only gifted us, but Lord, you have brought it yourself with your own Son. And we just praise you that you saw our need and you responded and you came to our side, to our aid, Father, to offer us eternal life with you. And Lord, just people everywhere just walk by and do not recognize what you have done. We don't recognize your Son. We don't recognize the gift. And so I pray for everyone sitting here, Lord. I pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts to understand your love for us, what you've done for us on the cross, that you sent your Son to this earth, Lord, to redeem us who are under the curse. So thank you. We praise you. Pray that you would be glorified and lifted up in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.